I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, I'll share some thoughts in my Can I Just Tell You commentary. But first, it's time to go behind closed doors. And this is one that parents of very young children might want to exercise some caution about. We just want to let you know that going in. This is the part of our program where we try to tackle issues that people hide or don't talk about much because of stigma or shame. Keeping quiet is exactly what Jackie McReynolds was used to doing, and that's what she did back in 1987 when she was kidnapped on the street and gang-raped while working as a prostitute on the streets of Washington, D.C. But even after all that, it took Jackie 4 more years to get out of the business. Now, though, her life is all about speaking out. She is the founder and executive director of the Angels Project Power. It's a program to try to help women leave prostitution. Women who've been detained on prostitution charges are given the option of serving time or going through Jackie's program. The program also reaches out to sex workers working on the streets. Jackie McReynolds joins us now from her home in Maryland to talk about her life and work. And also joining us here in our Washington, D.C. studio is Nikita Harrison. Ms. Harrison is also a former sex worker. She's currently going through Jackie's program. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies, both of you.
Thank you for welcoming me.
Thank you.
Jackie, everybody always wants to know the same thing, I'm sure, up front, which is, how did you get into the sex industry to begin with?
I was around 13 years old, and it was an older man that lived in the neighborhood. Matter of fact, he lived across the street. He asked me to come to his house, and when I got there, he offered me some money for sex. So that was my first introduction to prostitution.
Why do you think you went over there to begin with?
Well, I was used to going over there to visit his wife. And I thought, you know, maybe they was having something or something like that. And when I got there, he was alone there.
Why do you think you said yes?
I really don't know. It wasn't that I was hurting for money or anything. I'm the only child. I probably was just curious more than anything.
And it just kind of went on from there?
Yes. After that first introduction, I got with my girlfriend and we began to kind of go to the older men in the community and was beginning to prostitute with them.
Did you think of yourself as a prostitute?
I really didn't. I thought I was just having sex for money. I didn't relate to the title at all. I had watched movies before about prostitution and the glamour of it all. And I kind of believed that the glamour would come later, the diamond rings and the fur coats.
Did you ever get the diamond rings and the fur coats?
I'm sorry to say that I didn't. All that I thought would happen far as glamour was concerned, I never reached that level.
What made you finally leave or get out of the life?
I really, really just got tired of getting up every day, trying to find some means of getting some money and prostituting and using drugs.
Nikita, I want to bring you in. How did you get involved in sex work?
Well, my story is kind of different. I started off when I was, you know, I'm 34, so I started off when I was much younger, going to clubs and dancing and enjoying the party scene. And at first, it wasn't just for money. It was just for just mere the compliment. I was just going in into and having sex with these guys.
How old were you when you started that, having sex?
I had started having sex when I was 12 years old.
12?
Mm-hmm.
You were going to clubs when you were 12?
Yes.
Did nobody ever tell you that this is not good for you? Forgive me for asking. I have to ask, where were your parents?
Well, again, I'm the only child, too. And my mom, she was there in my life. But when she was working at that time, I would do what I wanted to do when she was at work because I was a latchkey kid.
How did the sex for money part start?
Well, actually, I progressed it with my social life while I was the partying, and I started wanting things for myself material-wise. And, you know, whatever I suggested, the man was willing to pay, and that's how it went for me.
Did you see yourself as a prostitute?
No, actually, I didn't see it as a sex worker. I didn't see it as being a prostitute. I just saw it as, you know, just having an offer, going to chill with a guy or two at that point in time and just doing what I wanted to do or doing what they was asking me to do and leaving it as that. I didn't see it as being having some type of form of a problem eventually.
Now, Miss Jackie was telling us that she thought it would get glamorous at some point. Did you think that
I thought that I was going to be able to receive things that was going to make me independent and have all the glamour things, yes, for us, me being an independent person, not just going out. I thought that I was going to be able to have some type of manageable thought over the situation and be able to be controlling over the situation, but obviously the situation controlled me.
What happened? Is it that you got involved in drugs, or did you get involved with
what
happened? I mean, where you realized you were not really in control of the situation?
Well, the whole situation just got where I needed to do, as me being a sex worker, I needed to do it more often. I needed to do it to provide for just the little things, my living arrangements, you know, me being material. At that point in time, I started picking up a habit of alcohol and drugs. I started needing it more and more and more, and it had became just a natural, just became a part of me. It was out of control.
Now, Miss Jackie, how did it go from trading sex for gifts and trading sex for money to where you were out on the street, where it became a job? It became what your full-time thing. It wasn't a side thing anymore. It was what you were doing. How did that happen?
I was with a girlfriend, and we was getting high on heroin. And I told her after we finished getting high, I said, well, I want some more. So she told me to go on the corner and find a guy to date, which was tricking, and have sex with him and get some more money and come back to her. So that's what I did. I went up on the corner, got a person, brought him down to the basement of that apartment, had sex with him, and took the money and went back to her and got some more heroin. I did never leave that corner for 15 years.
So how did you get the idea for your program, and how does it work?
I actually prayed about it, and I prayed about it for a while. The How Angels Work, it was started out to be a prevention program only, to provide prevention services for women that are at risk for HIV. And so that's how I first got my first grant through the Department of Health. And after doing that for a while in the courts recognized how well of a job I was doing. And then they decided to give me some funding, the U.S. Attorney's Office through the Justice Department. And so we flourished.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin, and I'm speaking with Jackie McReynolds and Nikita Harrison. Jackie McReynolds is the founder and runs the Angels Project Power Program, which aims to help sex workers stop that work and get off the streets. Nikita Harrison is currently enrolled in that program. She's also sharing her experiences with us. And as I want to remind our listeners, this is a sensitive topic for some listeners. So if you don't consider this appropriate for the folks who are listening with you, this is probably a good time to make a different choice. Nikita, what made you get out of it? And as I understand it, it took you a couple tries.
Yes, it did. It took me plenty of tries. I've known Ms. McReynolds for over a couple of years now. I was not successful in the beginning. I was very defiant. I would come in when I want to, and it took two or three tries with me, with her, actually.
What do you think? What was your attitude?
Well, I wasn't ready to stop living the life. You know, I wasn't ready to stop finding the ease or find a way out of things. You know, I wasn't ready to sit down and be a mature, responsible woman. You know, I just wanted to, hoping and wishing that that pretty woman picture would come back to life. And, you know, as I get older, things don't come as fast. So that's what happened.
Was there any one thing that made you want to stop?
What was so amazing was I actually had got into Ms. McReynolds' program. She received me from the court in the back in the holding cell, and she said, before she even took me, she told the judge, she asked, like, let me speak to this client. I know her from a while back. This one time she asked me, she was like, Nikita, if you play games this time, I'm telling you, she didn't have no problem with going. And I saw the sincerity in her eyes. And I kind of like just was living off her sincerity as far as me being honest with being with the program. But as time progressed, I went on and I was seeing the sincerity in the program and what it was offering me. And that's what, I mean, that's why I'm here today.
Nikita, how are you doing?
I'm happy today. I mean, you know, going through Ms. McReynolds' program has helped me to deal with situations, not actually run to people or run to a substance or just want to just seclude myself from people, you know. It's very hopeful for me. It gives me the incentive to want to deal with situations that come up.
What do you think you learned in the program that you would not have gotten on your own? What is it about it?
Well,
is it the fellowship with other women who've gone through what you've gone through? Is it the talking it out, or what is it?
Well, I must say in the beginning, you know, my self-esteem was very low. And for me to start working on the outside part of me was a big plus for me. And for the ladies, when I arrived at the group, the ladies would give me compliments. It wasn't from men. It was from the ladies. You look nice, or this and that, this and that. It boosted my self-esteem up. It was not from a man, and I considered what the women were saying was genuine. They didn't want nothing in return. I didn't have to do anything. And that's what I received from the program. As I was receiving the information, I kind of allowed myself to open up. And it helped me with learning how to, no situation is going to occur on the street that I don't have to listen to a man, or I don't need a man to tell me this that you look good. I don't need someone to pick up and ask me, do I need a ride? I can get to where I'm going without that. Always finding a shortcut. You know, and the shortcut does not, for me, leads to me always going back to the same old life, partying, drinking, having sex.
Ms. McReynolds, we're down to our last couple of minutes. As I understand it, that since October of 2006, if I've got my numbers right, you had 129 women graduate through the program, completely conclude it. And I understand, though, that another about 200 women you've had to ask to leave for failing drug tests or missing classes. And what do you think makes the difference for the women who are ready to succeed, who can succeed, and for those who do not? Is there some key that you've seen over the time you've been doing this work?
Well, the sad thing is that some women don't want to change, and in their mind, they tell themselves that it's okay to prostitute, it's not a big deal. And then actually what happens is a lot of the women get addicted to the lifestyle, because it is addictive. Standing out on the corner, getting in somebody's car, all that, the things that go with prostitution gets very addictive. We can't spend a lot of time on those that just turn their backs to us once they come to us and don't want treatment. We have to spend our time with the ones that really, really want to stay clean, want to do something different with their life, because it's not enough money nor staff to be able to do all that we would like to do.
There's one thing we have not talked about, which is the role of the clients in all this, the men.
Well, we are also the facilitator of the John School. The John School is when the guy solicits the woman for sex, and they come through the courts as well. And they have a one-day session that they have to go through with different components of interventions through that whole day. But they only go one day. And the women have to be in our program for 4 months. And it seems a little unbalanced to me, but that's the way it is. And we do have transgenders come to our program. And we do our best to help them as well. We don't treat them any different. We want them to be the best at who they think they are, but be the best at it. So it's no judgment there as well.
Jackie McReynolds is the founder and executive director of the Angels Project Power, which helps women leave sex work if they want to. She joined us from her home in Maryland. Nikita Harrison is a former sex worker who's currently enrolled in the Angels program, successfully, she tells us, and she was kind enough to join us from our Washington, D.C. studios. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking.